Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. What is a cultural revolution? Who was the number one murderer of the 20th century? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast and become a member. If this show has impacted you at all, become a member at charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. And you can email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Rosalinda from South Carolina. Charlie, I heard you talking about Mao and the Cultural Revolution. Admittedly, I don't know very much about it. Can you please walk us through it the best you can? Thanks so much. Love the show. Yeah, we don't have enough time to really build this out in full, obviously, in entirety. But there's a great book, which, by the way, is super hard to find. It's called Mao, The Unknown Story. I don't want to get too deep into this, but it's a really, really hard book to get your hands on. It took me months to actually get it. It was published back in the early 2000s, and it was actually recommended to me by Dennis Prager, Mao, The Unknown Story, where you actually, it's an incredible picture into Mao Zedong of where he came from, how he was raised, where he came up with this idea of the Long March. And so Mao came to power as a military officer, and there was a ton of poverty and devastation, obviously, in mainland China that the Japanese were largely responsible for. And what people don't understand, though, is that Mao actually welcomed the Japanese occupation of much of China. He schemed, even poisoned, and blackmailed to get his way. It was all about power. And then after Mao conquered China in 1949 was the key year. His secret goal was then to dominate the entire world. And understand that Maoism has not left the Chinese Communist Party. It's still largely there. That the Chinese Communist Party is still Maoist more than they are even Marxist. And, you know, only 70 million people died under Mao's rule. But the most applicable part of the rise of the Chinese Communist Party and Maoism is this term that you hear more and more. And there's a great book by Christopher Rufo. We had him on the program over the summer about a cultural revolution. You are living through a cultural revolution. And that phrase is used more and more and more, but we have to understand what that actually is. A cultural revolution is remaking the actual DNA and the fiber of the nation that you are in. It's refounding the nation. So we commonly, you know, cite the United States Constitution, the greatest political document ever written, and the Declaration of Independence. The promises made in the Constitution and the Declaration are completely and totally at odds with what the Marxist Maoist left wants to do. So Mao Zedong takes power officially in 1949. He basically purged a lot of the non-believers. They create this thing called the Bamboo Curtain, which basically walled off China from the rest of the world. And Mao then decided to go inward. This is what's very important. It's very similar to what the left is doing right now, is that the left is taking their cues from what Mao did, is you wage the war domestically. Some of the phrases that you hear, struggle sessions, the Red Guard, these are all Maoist terms, far more than even what Stalin did, including the Great Leap Forward. So there were these purges that occurred in 1966, all the way through what would be called, you know, the Cultural Revolution. He established revolutionary committees and the People's Liberation Army, the PLA. And in fact, even in 1966, in May of 1966, with the help of the Cultural Revolution Group, he infiltrated even more parts of the Chinese government and deployed cadres of the Red Guard, mostly students, by the way. Sound familiar? Mostly students, to go find elders and adults and report them for struggle sessions. You must understand that one of the things that drove Mao's worldview was that there was no God. You know, we are propagandized all the time when they say that, oh, Mike Johnson's a Christian nationalist and biblical worldview, as if it's, you know, the scary, awful, you know, phantom that we must oppose. What is the worldview of Mao? The worldview of Mao is world domination, that there is no transcendent, there is no eternal promise. This world is all that there is, and we must have complete power over the earth. That is far scarier, like infinitely scarier, than the idea that you're made in the image of a creator, regardless if you're Jewish or Christian or whatever. Mao famously said, power grows out of a barrel of a gun. And what we must understand is that the American professor community, they don't teach Mao as if this guy was a terrible dictator and look at all these lessons. They almost look at Mao as a blueprint, or dare I say, a red print. Look how successful Mao Zedong was. And one of the things you learn about Mao is that instead of taking responsibility for the welfare of your citizens, you must constantly have an enemy. This is what is necessary for progressivism or Hegelianism, which is you must constantly be focused on the quote-unquote fringe nature, the radicalism, the othering of a different group, otherwise called scapegoating, that there must be a scapegoat, and this is what you position your troops, your infantry, to be focused on. And you see this in the media right now. Instead of talking about our wide-open southern border, massive inflation, just find a group of people that you can blame for your problems. This is nothing new. Tyrants and totalitarians have done this all throughout history. The Nazis did this with the Jews. Joseph Stalin did this with the kulaks. Tyrants and authoritarians need a group of people to blame to get more power. The American Maoists blame conservatives, Christians, and people on the conservative right as to why they don't have utopia yet on earth. Therefore, give us more power. But we must understand that Mao's Cultural Revolution was more than just political power. He was actually trying to remake the human DNA. And unfortunately, what's here now in 2023, we have to ask ourselves the question, did it work? The people of China are not a freedom-loving people. They've really never been a freedom-loving people. They've been okay with dynastic rule of multi-thousand-year reign. But the people now in 2023 in China are fine with a social credit system, being locked up in their apartments for months on end. They have no memory of freedom, so what is it they're trying to actually fight for? And Mao, in his quite honestly, diabolical plan through the Cultural Revolution, was able to remake the body politic of a billion people. And to this day, you would think that the West would be unified in saying, that's a bad idea. Remember when Mike Bloomberg came out recently, in the last couple of years, and he said that, you know, the Xi Jinping model, he has concern for his citizens? Or most famously, I think it's Tom Friedman, right, Blake? Where he just fawns over in the New York Times. Like, look what China can do. They could build an airport in a day. Well, yeah, I mean, there's no private property and you just get to work your, you know, laborers for 22 hours a day till they pass out or die from exhaustion and not feed them. But yeah, you could build an airport in a week. Deep down, there is this envy that the American elites have when it comes to China. Gavin Newsom just recently goes to China. He has all this ridiculous double talk. You know, there's all these competitive challenges and our differences are distinct. What is hidden below the surface that bubbles up every so often, that pops up, is that the American elites are jealous of the Chinese Communist Party. They are jealous of the advantages of totalitarianism, that they don't have to really deal with elections, that they can speak things into existence and they will be listened to. They don't have to worry about the pesky complaints of the commoners, the deplorables, the listless vessels. They could flip a switch and get whatever they want. They go to China and they marvel in how much power even a middle-of-the-road bureaucrat has. When they say they are fighting for democracy, what is it they're actually fighting for? Oligarchy. Let's be more specific. The American ruling elite don't want to actually challenge China because they want America to become more like China in a lot of different ways. They love the fact that the Chinese Communist Party elite and the oligarchs are largely untouchable, that they are the philosopher kings of the Chinese Communist Party. And they look at the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s playbook of Mao to be implemented here in America. China literally calls itself a people's democracy, which is, of course, a joke. But you can implement a rather harsh oligarchy while calling it a democracy. Just look at the Chinese Communist Party. Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Like, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you, so you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. So many questions. Let's just build this out a little bit more because we have another question here. Gary from South Dakota. Charlie, what'd you make of the Newsom-President Xi meeting? Gavin Newsom went to China not to challenge the Chinese Communist Party's dictatorship, not to try to hold them accountable or make them pay for COVID. No. Newsom probably went there to learn. We'll never really know the full story, but based on all public reports and based on what we know about Gavin Newsolini, he went there to get best practices of how to finish the Cultural Revolution. Of course, there's presidential optics and kind of the next in line, and there's all these other reasons. But you have to imagine that Gavin Newsom, as he was leaving on the private jet from mainland China back to Sacramento, California, and he was looking out of the window, he was probably thinking to himself, why can't I have that kind of power? Why can't I just shut down Jack Hibbs Church? Why can't I just with a stroke of a pen, make the commoner obey? The American ruling elite have China envy. Play cut 60.
And the fact that we had access to these high-level meetings, I'll be meeting with five provincial governors tomorrow, another extension of this visit, I think is suggestive that we're entering, I hope, a new phase, bit of a thawing. The last few years have been very stressful. I think it goes to your question. And we've got to turn down the heat. We've got to manage our strategic differences. We've got to reconcile our strategic red lines. Those are well established between our two countries. But I want to applaud the Biden administration. And on the basis of the engagement I had today with members of the Xi administration, President Xi himself, I want to applaud his willingness to reconcile those differences, people-to-people exchange. The fact he's meeting with the governor of California at the subnational level, I think, is indicative of a thaw.
I mean, yeah, that's a bunch of Orwellian doublespeak. What he's really saying is, and he'll never tell you this, that Gavin Newsom is learning how to further terrorize the citizens. By the way, has China ever paid for COVID? No. We locked down the entire American economy. Over a million people died of a virus created in a laboratory in Wuhan, China. The Chinese Communist Party lied about it. They covered it up. They made people disappear that knew the information of it. We printed over $6 trillion. We inflated our currency. We basically destabilized the entire Western order because of a virus that came out of China. And Gavin Newsom is fawning over Xi Jinping. Of course he's fawning over Xi Jinping. He wants to be Xi Jinping. They want to have the power the Chinese Communist Party has over their citizens. Period. The Cultural Revolution is not a warning to the American left. It is a blueprint, a red print. They want to implement it here. In fact, that is what you are living through. It is a template. That is the perfect word for it. It's a template. You are living through a cultural revolution, and we don't quite know how to stop it. We just know that Mao was successful. And that's horrifying, right? You would think, and this is what really bothers me, if I could be honest. Adolf Hitler was one of the most evil people ever to live. National Socialist Workers Party, known as the Nazis. And we do a pretty good job in the West, I have to be honest, of teaching our kids that Adolf Hitler is evil. If there is one thing to say that we've done well in our history teaching of the last, you know, couple decades, we have actually done a pretty good job of emphasizing the evil of Nazi Germany. I remember being in eighth grade history class, MacArthur Middle School in suburban Chicago. We dedicated a whole month just to the Holocaust. And yes, it moved my fellow classmates. But did we dedicate even a day, a week to the excesses and the totalitarianism of communism? No. Why is that? Why is there such an emphasis on the evils of Nazism, which is necessary, of course, but like not even a whisper to the evils of secular Marxism, Maoism, Stalinism, Pol Potism? Why is that? Why is it that we focus and emphasize on how terrible the Holocaust was, of course, but we don't even mention or teach our young people that, hey, Marxism actually killed more people than Nazism. Now, there's a couple explanations for that. The explanation could be that there was a specific campaign to abolish a religious people in Nazism, and it was way more successful than people even realized, tragically. I mean, nearly half the world's Jews died in the Holocaust, based on all public reports. But this is worth some introspection. Why do we teach our kids only one evil of the 20th century? Could it be that our elites actually want the other evil to be implemented? Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor, and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner. Okay, let me just kind of close this on this. I don't know the intention, but I do know the result. And the result is that we have significantly undereducated America's youth on the evil and excesses of communism. I won't say that we've overeducated on the evil of the excess of Nazism, but I will say, as a result of only teaching of the 20th century the evils of Nazism, that every time they call somebody in the American right a Nazi, that young people then believe that is the only evil that came out of the 20th century. The way the educational system should work, which it doesn't, is to have an honest overview of the 20th century. If you go to an average eighth grader or an average kid in a history class in government schools, and you'll say, what ideology or what dictator killed the most people in the 20th century? This is a very simple question, right? What dictator in the 1900s, in fact, if you ask college kids this, Blake went to Dartmouth. Blake, how many kids at Dartmouth would get this question right? What dictator in the 20th century killed the most people? I would say that 60 to 70% would say Adolf Hitler. I would say that a vast majority, Blake says 90%. Okay. Blake is more qualified to answer. I'm just totally guessing. Okay. 90% of kids would say Adolf Hitler, by far the most murderous person in the 20th century. And in fact, he's third or fourth. Joseph Stalin and Mao are one or two. Who actually wins the gold medal? We don't know. It's probably Mao. Probably. So Mao, in fact, killed anywhere between 4 to 5 times more people than Adolf Hitler did. Now, I'm not talking about dying at war. I'm talking about intentional, plotted, planned, and executed genocide. Mao, 4 to 5 times more than Adolf Hitler. Joseph Stalin, 3 to 4 times more than Adolf Hitler. Mao's policies were responsible for anywhere between 40 to 80 million victims due to starvation, persecution, prison labor, mass executions, and his government did this intentionally. In 2011, American historian Timothy D. Snyder stated that Stalin deliberately killed between 6 million, which could be as many as 9 million. And that doesn't even include the intentional lack of sending food to the Ukrainian famine in the late 19-teens, early 1920s, going into the early 1930s. Oh, I guess it does. Okay. You see, I've seen estimates for Stalin that go into 20 or 30 million. So that seems very low by historian Timothy Snyder. Okay. So the question is, why is it? Let's take the low ball, okay? Let's say that Joseph Stalin killed 7 million people intentionally, okay? That all of his death tolls are inflated. Let's say he's tied then with Adolf Hitler. And let's say Adolf Hitler killed 10 million people intentionally. Let's round up. Why is it that we don't teach our nation's young people even a little bit, fractionally, of the evil? And the answer is this, is because the ideology that killed anywhere between 40 to 80 million people in Mao's China, and let's just say 7 to 10 million people in Stalin's Russia, people still follow that ideology. In fact, it's still embraced by our academic elites. That's why. Is that the ideology that killed all those people is embraced by the American ruling class. So they won't want to teach the students of America that Marxism can result in the mass graves. I just find that super interesting. The Washington Post says, who was the biggest mass murderer in the history of the world? Most people assume that answer is Adolf Hitler, architect of the Holocaust. Washington Post says, others might guess it's Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, who may indeed have managed to kill even more innocent people than Hitler did. But both Hitler and Stalin were outdone by Mao Zedong. From 1958 to 1962, the Great Leap Forward, up to 45 million people died, easily making it one of the biggest episodes of mass murder ever recorded. Okay, so that's, again, these numbers fluctuate, I don't know, by the tens of millions. The point is this. Almost in any American classroom, you will see an emphasis on the Holocaust. For good reason. It should be emphasized. But you will see a de-emphasis on the Great Leap Forward or on the gulags executed by the Soviet Union. Next question. Let's get to the next question here. Getting lots of thoughts. Freedom at charliekirk.com. Charlie, what's the story here with Joe Biden and FBI informants? So glad you guys mentioned it. Let's play cut 140. Jesse Waters will set it up for us. The question is Tyler from Michigan. Thank you for listening. Cut 140.
Senator Chuck Grassley just announced that the Federal Bureau of Investigation has had 40 informants inside the Biden family for the last 15 years. Grassley says FBI headquarters deliberately smeared criminal information coming from FBI informants about the Biden family as foreign disinformation, when in fact, after an exhaustive examination, there's never been any information that any of this has been foreign.
Okay. So wait a second. So the FBI had 40 informants within the Biden family for at least the last 15 years. Grassley said the FBI headquarters deliberately smeared criminal information coming from the FBI about the Biden family as foreign disinformation, when in fact there's never been information that any of this has been foreign. So I actually have a different opinion here. Biden is a traitor to the country, but should we put up with the FBI actively spying on a sitting vice president? I think we have to be a little bit principled here. We were pretty upset when the FBI marched into the White House and entrapped Lieutenant General Michael Flynn and spied on Donald Trump. Yeah, of course Joe Biden deserves it, obviously. But the same playbook that was used against Trump seemed to be tested against Biden. It just wasn't seen all the way through. Just because they're spying on him to protect him doesn't make it right. What I'm getting at here is this is just further evidence of this monstrosity of an administrative state that will actively spy on office holders deemed with power by the sovereign, the American people. And if they step out of line like Donald Trump did, then they will say, go for it. We vote, the left talks glowingly about democracy, and yet we're all controlled by the actual sovereign, the FBI and the Stasi. Now look, Joe Biden is a traitor. I just think everyone is taking the wrong, I think they're burying the lead here. They're like, wow, okay, yeah, the FBI had informants and they knew that, you know, Joe Biden was super corrupt and all that. Okay, I see it a little bit differently. I don't like this new standard where all of a sudden the FBI just permanently spies on the people, the individuals holding government positions that the people deem in power. I don't think that's a good track record for the country. Now, the counterargument is that the FBI is not arresting Biden and they have all of this information and he is a traitor and he was doing these things. And they're not arresting him. That's a fair argument. What I'm trying to say, though, is that this story should be, in a legitimate country, a reason for a bipartisan Church and Pike committee to get the FBI to heal. That's what it should be in a functioning country. And this probably means that the FBI was blackmailing Joe Biden and using the informants as a way to control him. But that's not okay. That's really bad. Again, I'm not a defender of Joe Biden. He should be in Gitmo. He's a traitor to the country. This is just going to happen to the next president. What's going to say if Donald Trump wins in a triumphant victory? What's to say that they won't just blackmail him and they won't just spy on him? This is how the administrative state rolls. This fourth branch of government is actually running the country, regardless of who is president. Have you become a member of the Charlie Kirk exclusive yet? It's so easy. All you have to do is go to members.charliekirk.com today or charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Sign up for access to all of our exclusive content. Never before seen interviews, weekly columns written by me, all of my most recent speeches in one place, videos where I answer your questions and so much more. Plus, we're going to be inviting members to Zoom calls with me starting very soon. So do not miss out. Help keep us uncensored by providing you with new content daily by becoming a member. Your support means the world to me and the whole team. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. If we have blessed you in any way, if this show has impacted your life, if you like the impact that we are making for other people and young people especially, consider becoming a member. It's affordable for people of all income levels. You guys get amazing perks and benefits, and it's only beginning. So go to members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Here's the best way I could describe how most governments operate. Most governments operate like aging men. they get very fat in the middle. They put on a lot of belly fat. And that middle management grows and grows and grows. The Israeli government is probably largely like this. The Roman government certainly was. There is this Praetorian Guard, this group that is this ever-growing mass that is so hard to control. And it's not the head that controls at all. And we see this in the American government. Let's play here Jesse Waters, play cut 141.
The FBI used Biden to get revenge on Trump. They got a dirty politician elected so they could defeat a politician who caught them trying to frame him and fire their director. And now we have a compromised president in the White House being protected by a rogue gang of sick agents.
Boy, this needs to be a top of mind concern for this revitalized House of Representatives. Okay, let's get to another question here. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's get to this one. Charlie, I heard you say recently that at an event that a man wearing a woman's dress is an abomination. Where do you get that from? Is it biblical? Yes. In fact, let me get the verse here. So there's a couple things that are considered to be an abomination to God. Now, there are some things that are considered to be an abomination to the Jewish people, like not eating shellfish. But in Deuteronomy 18, for example, do not practice divination, sorcery, fortune telling, witchery, casting spells, holding seances, and channeling with the dead. I actually want to start with this one, Deuteronomy 18:12. Halloween is coming up, which is All Saints Day, but let's just be honest. Halloween is a dark, dark day. Not a fan of it. It's what you do with it. Not a fan of all the kind of dressing up and all that nonsense. I don't like it. And if you are a Christian, you must be, and by the way, if you're also a Jew, because this is a Old Testament law, you must not engage in any of these practices of the occult. I find that there is far too much kind of joking around and playing loose and fast with this stuff. There is legit darkness that can be channeled and put in there. And by the way, this again, this is an Old Testament law, so this goes for both Jews and Christians. When you enter the land of God, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Okay, this is NIV, which is, no one should ever read NIV. Let me go to ESV. You shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There you shall not be found among you who burns his son or daughter as an offering. Yeah, don't, no child sacrifice. By the way, because it was widespread. The Aztecs did it, the Mayans did it, the Egyptians did it. Here's a law against child sacrifice. Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead, for whoever does these things is an abomination to God, and because these abominations to the Lord is driving them out for you. So that's just a good word for Halloween. Don't even play around with it. Stay away from it. It's explicitly said. And so, but let me get to the Deuteronomic law, which means second law about transgenderism, basically. Yes, I did not come up with it, but it, I believe, yeah, it's okay. It's Deuteronomy 22:5. Thank you. Deuteronomy 22:5 is a woman shall not wear a man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's clothing, for whoever does these things is utterly repulsive to the Lord or is an abomination to the Lord. Why? God created distinctions, and distinctions keep us free. And if you blur those separations or those distinctions, then you are challenging the natural law and the natural order, the distinction of man and woman, Adam and Eve, right and wrong, evil and good, man and nature, God and man, holy, profane. And changing the clothing, aka the trans movement, is a direct defiance to the natural law. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.